Thank you for tuning in today, and we hope we find you blessed and full of the Spirit of the Lord. If not, maybe during the course of this teaching, you can find the Lord or find the victory you need in the Lord. So let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, Lord, we ask you, God, that you just touch to the uttermost, anoint us as we speak, anoint our lips, anoint the minds and hearts and the souls that will receive the message of truth in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. For our teaching today, I want to minister on a thought and want to base this out of Acts, the second chapter, verse 27, and then verse 31 through verse 36. I guess a thought might be said, for he has been lifted up. We look in Acts in chapter 2 in verse 27, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption. Now, to understand this completely, I guess we would need to go back and look a little bit over in Matthew, and if we might look in verse 37 through verse 40, in Matthew, the 12th chapter, and then we'll come back to this second chapter of Acts. Verse 37 says, "For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Then certain of the scribes and of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given to them but the sign of the prophet Jonas." Now here's where he begins to explain this in verse 40. "For as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth." This is that which he prophesied and which he said. Now, they didn't receive it. They didn't understand it. But it's clear to you and I today that are part of the kingdom and the family of God, it's clear to understand and know what he meant. Just as the Jonah was in the belly of the fish, the whale, for 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of God be in the heart of the earth. He's talking about the time between that which he was crucified and on that morning wherein that he came forth and he rose victoriously over death, hell, and the grave. Now let's go back and read this verse 27 again out of Acts 2nd chapter. "But thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer the Holy One to see corruption." Now as we go on down, we can understand this a lot more clearly when we see the writing here in verse 31. "He's seeing this before spake of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh to see corruption. This Jesus has God raised up, wherefore we all are witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this which you now see and hear." Verse 34, "For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he said himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Set thou on my right hand, until I make thou foes thou footstools." And verse 36 tells us, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." This kind of ties it together, sums it up. Those 3 days and three nights that he was talking about is that the Lord would be in the heart of the earth and he would fulfill that, but on that third day he would be resurrected and be lifted up. Now, to add to our understanding of this, we go to 1 Peter, and in the 3rd chapter, verse 18 and verse 19, "For Christ also has once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit." In verse 19, "by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison." We must understand that Jesus had to go and preach to those that was imprisoned, because from the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, the blood of an animal, a blood of a goat, a sheep, a calf, a heifer, none of these things could ever pay the price for sin. They only atoned until the supreme sacrifice could be made and Jesus could shed his blood on Calvary, and that blood would atone for sin. So for that purpose, Satan helped the Old Testament saints in Upper Sheol, and we know as the word it was a state of paradise, but they was not free, even though Satan couldn't touch them, he couldn't do nothing to them, they were not free to go on in and be with God in heaven. So Jesus had to deliver the Old Testament saints up to the Lord, and he had to fulfill that. And he had to go and preach to them in captivity. They had the right and the privilege to choose to accept Jesus Christ or to reject or accept. That was up to them. No man will go to heaven unless he has accepted the plan of salvation that God has for man and made from the beginning for man. And that's clear by all the words of God and the things that took place. Now, we find in 1 Corinthians in the 15th chapter and verse 24 gives a little bit of understanding of this. When we find here in verse 24, "Then cometh the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom of God, even the Father, when he has put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he said all things are put under him, it is manifest that he is accepted, which did put all things under him." So at the end of the kingdom that we live in today, in other words, at the end of the age of grace, the time of the Gentiles, at this time, when this thing wraps up and comes in for the New Testament saints, he will deliver them up to the Father. And by the same understanding, he done this same thing to the Old Testament and the saints of the Old Testament. So let's go in Matthew in the 27th chapter, and we will find some more understanding on these thoughts. And I don't know to you, but this has always been so fascinating and so amazing for me to follow the steps of Christ, and from the very point that he come in a manger to the point that he went to Calvary, rose again, ascended on high, and all the steps that he had there in between. It's exciting to me, and I hope it's exciting to you. Then in the Gospel of St. Matthew in chapter 27 and verse 50 through verse 53, "Jesus, when he had cried aloud with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. And behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent." Now, this is taking place when he gave up the ghost, and when he yielded forth and gave his life for your sins and my sins. Then the writer here, Matthew, he gets so excited that this, chronologically, you have to understand it. And it goes in verse 52, "And the graves were open, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose." and came out of the grave after his resurrection and went to the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, here the writer Matthew got so excited, as I explained, that he, at the time that he was telling us about how that Jesus on Calvary gave up the ghost and how he seen the veil in the temple was rent, then it goes on here and explains to us, and he talks about these bodies being rose. You know, they was numbers seen on the streets, and the Bible said this took place after his resurrection. So this is the terminology and the understanding of what God was doing, the Old Testament saints, after the resurrection of Jesus Christ, come out of the graves, come out of the tombs, and they were seen there on the streets of Jerusalem. You know, as we study the Word of God, if I make a statement, I like to prove it by the Word of God. I don't want to just leave it to people think, well, that might have been his opinion. If it's the Word of God, I want to go to verse and chapter, and I want to share it with you. So that's what we do a lot in these teachings, and that's what we want to do now. Here the Word of God tells us in John the 20th chapter, verse 8, 9, actually then picking up again over in the latter part of that chapter in verse 17. Here the Word tells us that then went in also that other disciple which came first to the sepulchre, and he saw and believed. For as yet they knew not the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then we find over in verse 16, Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, and she called him Master. And in verse 17, Jesus said unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and to your God. This is where that Jesus give her the understanding that he would ascend unto God. And he had to deliver those Old Testament saints up to heaven to the Father. Then if we go on further in that, we're going to come back to that chapter again here just in a few minutes. But if we look in Luke in chapter 24, gives us also an understanding that's very important. In the 24th chapter, and here it explains the coming upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning they came unto the sepulchre, bringing the spices which they had prepared, and certain other with them. And they found the stone rolled away in the sepulchre, from the sepulchre, and they entered in and found not the body of Jesus, of the Lord Jesus. Verse 4. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garment, and as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, he is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee. The Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and crucified, and in the third day shall rise again. And they remembered these words. Our time runs out in this teaching, but let me cover back in the 20th chapter of the Gospel of John, and we find the understanding of how that Jesus appeared back to them. This in the 26th verse of that 20th chapter lets us know that 8 days had passed. And here he said to Thomas that he could touch him. He could, you know, Thomas said, unless he's seen these things or felt these things, he wouldn't believe. But Jesus gave him the privilege to touch him, this is a signifying that his glorification had been fulfilled, and he had been back to the Father. And you notice how he appeared through the wall. Sorry, time runs out for this teaching, but let's pray. Lord, in the name of Jesus, do the work that's needed in each life. Lord, we thank you that Jesus has been lifted up. He had the power to come forth out of the tomb, and no grave nor death could hold him. And thank God he lives and reigns forevermore. God, reach the man or woman that needs to believe this message and let him accept the plan of salvation for life. In Jesus' name, amen.